I thought, well, I want to go to people, you know, I want to talk to people that are, you know, in jail heading to prison because those are my people. And they had a, you know, 2-year sobriety requirement, and then I'm at the district meeting and they're like, that's a 5-year sobriety requirement. And I said, well, the district chair for corrections is open and I got 6 months. I think I should, you know, and I just stand there, Paul, and I get it. And I just dove in doing the thing. And then I just changed the rules. I said, you come into the jail anytime you want. If you want to come in and share, you know, and we started doing the thing. And I just made that my life of kind of carrying the message into a place like that. Someone, you know, a long time ago, I heard somebody say that if you want to stay sober, you should bring at least one meeting a week into a place you never want to end up back up, you know, and back in. And I thought, okay, detox treatment, prison, jail, whatever, but I got to be there and I got to be talking to those people. And I don't think that God got me sober to spare my life so I can ride off into the sunset and do whatever Mike wants to do, right? I think in Alcoholics Anonymous, each of us have a story that's uniquely designed in our own way, and the experience in which we had to live that's going to be told by you in a way to reach somebody or a lot of people. So that way they can come out of the dark that they're in and step into the light, and you get to, right? It's that Sam Shoemaker, I stand by the door, right? And I don't get to save your life or help you, but maybe I can just show you where the handle is. And if you want to walk through, you get to walk through. And I think that's my job, is to stay by the door, right? I don't go too far in or come in here and take a seat, but I'm just there to try to show you where the, you know, you're the blind guy walking the wall trying to figure out where you're going. And I'm just trying to show you where the latch is. And if you want to walk through, great. If you don't, great. No harm, no foul. But at least I'm here showing you. And I believe that that is ultimately why God got me sober. My life, when I got sober, I had a hamper full of clothes, couldn't speak full sentences. Once again, weighed about $1.20, throwing up blood because I don't eat, and all I do is, the only meal I have is beer, right? I just drink all the time, and I can't speak full sentences. I'm completely shot out, and I think everybody's a federal agent. AA was a tough place for that. AA is a really tough place for that because people go, hey, what's your name? And I'm like, what do you need to know my name for, right? And then, where are you from? What do you mean, where am I from? You know, what have you been up to? What do you mean, what have I been up to? Like, what are you talking to? Like, stop asking me probing questions. You know, where's the wire, right? But I was that guy, right? I mean, I was nuts. I remember I got sober the year Chuck and Larry came out. Remember that movie, Chuck, and I'll pronounce it Chuck and Larry? And I'm staying at my aunt's house. My aunt's a very normal person, very private person. She was my mom's sister, successful, retired, super young, lives in this gated community in Minneapolis. She just lets me come live there, and I'm basically the devil. And I mean, really, we are in completely different worlds, doing completely different things. And she's letting me stay there. I stayed there for like 4 weeks, maybe five, I don't know, whatever. I stayed there in the beginning of my recovery. And I remember I'm sober, pulled into her driveway, I'm smoking a cigarette, I'm looking in my rearview mirror, and I can see two people in the window watching me from across the cul-de-sac. And I'm kind of, watching them watching me. And I'm like, I'm in the middle of the cul-de-sac watching them, letting them know that I see them and I'm not scared, you know, because I'm clean right now. Like, I don't have anything to hide from you, I'm good. And then I kind of go inside and I go down to the basement and I kind of hide out there for a little bit because now I'm super sketched out because they didn't leave the window. And I know that if the feds don't leave the window, if they let you know that they're watching you, the gig is up. They're coming to get you, right? Because I'm there, and I'm sober. And then she comes home, and I'm like, hey, I need to talk to you about something. I think your neighbors are in on this thing. And she went and talked to the neighbors, and they were cardboard cutouts from Chuck and Larry. Because I remember when I turned a year sober, she came to the dinner and she said, you know, she handed me a card. She was like, hey, I'm glad you're sober. Chuck and Larry are thrilled you're still sober. You know, like, because I was that guy. And I mean, I was that guy. Like, my first job when I got sober was serving food at a Perkins, right? It was like a Denny's, similar, right? Denny's or whatever you have up here. I don't know. But I'm serving food at Perkins. And I didn't know that, like, real people, professionals, dress like this during the day. And I remember one day, I'm maybe 4 months sober. And they said, Mike, we sat someone in your section. And I was like, okay, cool. I grabbed my waters and I'm walking them out there and I see the two suits and I just turn back. And I said, hey, you gotta go help that table. And they're like, what's going on? And I run downstairs and I call my sponsor and I'm running through the parking lot and I'm like, they're here. He's like, who's here? I said, the feds are here, man. And I'm 4 months, I didn't think I was ever coming back. I mean, I was nuts. heard.